بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. The author, he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى في كتاب الصلاة, in the book of الصلاة, باب التشهد. Babu At-Tashahud, the chapter about At-Tashahud. At-Tashahud is a masdar, it's the verbal noun. The verb is Tashahada, Yatashahadu, Tashahad, Tashahudan. You say Tashahad al-Rajulu idha qala ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the meaning of tashahud, to testify and to bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and to testify and to bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. So this is the meaning of tashahada, and this is the reality of a tashahud, and to state a shahadatain, to make the shahada for the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the shahada for the messengership of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what is being referred to here is the tashahud, at tashahud in the salah, which it begins with at-tahiyyatu lillahi wa-salawatu wa-tayyibatu, until the end of it. Until the end of it. And this is something that is known in the Arabic language, that sometimes one may speak, or in the speech, a person he will use a term, and he's referring to, and he'll mention a part of something, but he's referring to the whole thing. يعني اطلاقوا البعدي ويراد به الكل. يعني that a person, he will say here, for example, التشهد. What is intended here is التحيات. التحيات, يعني the whole thing. But التشهد is the most virtuous part of that. So therefore, it's mentioned in this manner. Therefore, it's mentioned in this manner. And also, the opposite is true in times. And somebody may use a word referring to the entire issue or the entire thing of something, but he is only intending part of that. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, وَجَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي أَذَانِهِمْ, and they put their fingers in their ears. What is intended here is not their whole fingers, but rather part of their fingers, meaning the tips of their fingers. الأنامل. And so here, that's إطلاقوا al-kul wa yuradu bihi al-ba'd. So this is something beneficial in the Arabic language, and likewise there are rulings that are derived from this understanding in usul al-fiqh. So at tashahud here, this is mentioning the most virtuous part of that. But what is intended is at-tahiyyatu lillah, until the end of the tashahud. So we know that at-tashahud in the salat there's two of them, التشاهد الأول والتشاهد الثاني, or they call it التشاهد الأخير, the last تشاهد. So in the prayer, whenever there is more than one تشاهد, the first one is considered wajib, and sitting for it is wajib likewise. And if the prayer has more than one تشاهد, then the second تشاهد, or the last تشاهد, and sitting for it likewise is a pillar. It's a pillar of the prayer. And the tashahud, it comes after every two rak'ah. After every two rak'ah, then one will make the tashahud. So if the prayer has two rak'ah, then there's only one tashahud. So this one will be the pillar. But if the prayer has three rak'ah or four rak'ah, then there will be two tashahud. And the first one is the wajib, the obligation, and the second one is the pillar. These affairs, they have preceded. Alhamdulillah. And the wording of the tashahud has come from more than one companion, and has been narrated the wording of the tashahud from Ibn Mas'ud, and likewise from Ibn Umar, and from Ibn Abbas, and likewise from Aisha radiallahu anhum jami'an. But the most virtuous and the best, the people of knowledge, they mention the best tashahud, because there are different wordings. Each one has a bit of a different wording, and all of them are correct. All of them that have been reported authentic, whether it was from Ibn Mas'ud or from Ibn Umar or Ibn Abbas, or whether it's from the tashahud of Aisha radiallahu anhum. If one, he brought one of these tashahud that's authentic, then he's good, alhamdulillah. But from all of these tashahud, the best, and the best with regards to the meaning, and the most complete in meaning, and likewise the strongest with regards to the chain, is the tashahud of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, and this is the one the author he's mentioning here. So if a person were to learn more than one tashahud, this is better for him. If he's able to learn the tashahud of Ibn Mas'ud, for example, and likewise one from Ibn Umar or from Ibn Abbas, for example, and to learn more than one of these different adhkar and to recite them yani from time to time differently, this is the best. This is the best in any situation. But if a person were to suffice with one of them, then it would be sufficient. And if he were to select and choose the best one, then it would be the tashahud of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. So this is the one that the author is mentioning. He says, an Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu annahu qal, allamani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at-tashahuda kaffi bayna kaffayhi kama yu'allimani surah min al-Qur'an. He said, radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught me the tashahud, and my hand was between his two hands. He taught the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught me the tashahud, and my hand was between his two hands. And he taught me in the same manner he would teach me a chapter from the Qur'an. The same way he would teach me a chapter from the Quran. علمني أي لقنني لقنني يعني that he taught me, meaning the same way he would teach him a chapter from the Quran. This is the teaching called a talqin, and that means that one will repeat after the other. Meaning he would teach the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would teach them a surah, as he would recite the verse, and they would recite after him, and they would memorize it in this manner. And this is called talqin. And this is one way to learn and to memorize. So this is how he learned the tashahud, the same way he would learn the Qur'an, that the Qur'an would be recited from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they would hear it and they would recite it back. And they would learn it in this manner. The same way the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught them a surah from the Qur'an, he taught Abdullah bin Mas'ud the tashahud, indicating the great virtue of this issue, and the virtue first and foremost of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that he used to learn directly from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam the Quran, and he used to learn directly from him likewise the Sunnah, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is holding his hand with both of his hands, and this is also an indication that Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he memorized the situation precisely until the extent that he memorized the statements and the situation that he was in. And whenever he learned this, he was sitting in front of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his hand in his hands. Again, from the beautiful teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also the care the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he showed for teaching him this particular issue. So therefore the tashahud, it should be memorized precisely the same way a person memorizes a chapter from the Qur'an. He should not add to it or take from it. He should not mispronounce it or mess up in the Arab and the likes like that. He should learn it precisely and properly. The same way he would learn the Fatiha, or the same way he would learn Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad, or any other chapter from the Qur'an, he will learn it precisely without any mistakes. To the best of his ability and pronunciation, he will not change the letters, he will not change the harakat, and the likes like that, rather he will learn it precisely the same way one should learn the adhkar of the salawat, particularly here the issue of at-tashahud. The issue of at-tashahud. Yani, so this is what he's saying. Radiallahu anhu. Here he says, وَكَفِّي بَيْنَ كَفَيْهِ, and my hand is between his two hands. The people of knowledge, they mention here that this is not shaking hands. What is not, it's not intended here, al-musafaha. Al-Musafaha is when a person, he will shake hands. And it's legislated and from the Sunnah and the legal ways of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he would shake hands. But whenever he would shake hands, he would use his right hand only, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would use his right hand only. He would not take his right hand and shake the hand and then put his left using two hands. And that's what's mentioned here, that he had his hand between his two hands. But this is not shaking hands here. Rather, he is in a situation now, he's teaching sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But as for shaking hands, he would put one hand sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would grasp it properly and hold it, and he would not let go or reach or strip his hand away until the person he let go himself. And so the point is here that somebody should not misunderstand, because some people, whenever they shake hands, they'll use both of their hands. But rather, this is not proper. What is better and what is best and what has come in the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to shake hands with one hand, with the right hand only. With the right hand only, and Allah knows best. So this is the case here. وَكَفِّي كَفِّي بَيْنَ كَفَيْهِ, my hand is between his two hands. Yani in a situation here of learning. In a situation here of learning. So he says the تشهد التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. This is the تشهد that has been narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. After this, the author, he says, وفي لفظ إذا قعد أحدكم في الصلاة فليقول التحيات لله وذكره. In one of the wordings of this narration, if one of you sits down for in the prayer, then he should say فليقول. So here, this additional wording here clarifies that the place for the tashahud is in sitting, whenever the one he sits in the prayer. When does one sit down in the prayer? After two rak'ah, if it's, and then in the end of the prayer likewise. After two rak'ah, if it's in Maghrib, after two, and then after the last rak'ah. And this is the case. So whenever one sits down in the prayer, this is the issue here, clarifying the place for the tashahud. So sitting down for the tashahud and making the tashahud, if it's the first one, it's both of them are obligations. And if it's the last one, then both of them are pillars. At-tashahudu wa al-julusu lahu. To make the tashahud and to sit for it. These are both either obligations or pillars according to the place of the tashahud. We benefit this from this wording here, the author he mentions. فَلْيَقُولْ التَّحِيَّاتُ لِلَّهِ until the end of it. فَلْيَقُولْ the people of knowledge, they have also derived from this statement here that it's an obligation, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has ordered here, the lamb here is lamb al-amr. فَلْيَقُولْ then let him say, or then he must say. So this is a command. So the people of knowledge have mentioned this is the indication that it's an obligation. It's a pillar from the prayer. It's a pillar from the prayer. And that which has separated the first tashahud from the second tashahud is the hadith that has preceded that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stood up in the first tashahud and he kept going and he made sujood to rectify that. To rectify that. This is what has been the proof or evidence to determine between the two. The origin is that it's an obligation. I mean, it was a pillar. But the fact that the first one is an obligation lesser than a pillar is the narration in the chapter of Sujood al-Sahu that has preceded. After this, the author, he says, وَفِيهِ فَإِنَّكُمْ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمْ ذَٰلِكَ فَقَدْ سَلَّمْتُمْ عَلَى كُلِّ عَبْدٍ صَالِحٍ فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Because verily, if you do that, and if you state the tashahud in this manner, and in its entirety, then verily you have sent salam and made supplication with salam for every righteous slave of Allah in the heavens and in the earth. And he's taken from the statement, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi as-salihin. Wa ala ibadillahi as-salihin. So this is also a supplication here, yani for every righteous slave in the earth. Yani whether it's from the mankind or from the jinn or from the angels, every righteous slave, whether he's alive or he's dead, and this is all encompassing. فَقَدْ سَلَّمْتُمْ عَلَى كُلِّ عَبْدٍ عَلَى كُلِّ عَبْدٍ عَبْدٍ لِلَّهِ صَالِحٍ فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَفِيهِ فَلْيَتَخَيَّرْ مِنَ الْمَسْأَلَةِ مَا شَاءَ. And also in some of the wordings that have come, that after this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, then after that, choose from the supplication that which you will. Choose from the supplication that which you like. Any that which you prefer, an indication that the tashahud, and what is intended here is after the salawat al-Ibrahimiyyah. فَلْيَتَخَيَّرْ مِنَ الْمَسَأَلَةِ مَا شَاءَ. Then let him choose after that from the supplication, and the asking, the dua, supplication, that which he likes. And meaning after the tashahud in its entirety, and likewise after a salawat al-Ibrahimiyyah. And then at this time, this is the place for supplication. At this time, this is a place for supplication, and this is what is mentioned here. فَلْيَتَخَيَّرْ مِنَ الْمَسْأَلَةِ ما شاء. Then let him choose and select from the supplications that which he wills or that which he likes. يعني, and the best of the supplications to choose are those that have come in the Quran and the Sunnah. That have come in the Quran and the Sunnah, because they are concise and they are all inclusive and they include the good of this life, asking for that in a few words, and likewise protection from the evil, asking for the good of this life and the hereafter in a few words, and likewise protection from evil, yani in a few words. So the supplications in the Quran and in the Sunnah, they are supplications that are considered jami'a. They're concise and all-inclusive, and likewise they're ma'suma. They're safe from error and mistake. Somebody may make a supplication and then he will go to the people of knowledge and ask, is it okay to say this dua? I have made up this own dua like this. Is it okay to say that? But if a person, he were to just learn the supplications that have come in the Quran and in the Sunnah, he will never have to ask, is it okay or is this correct to say this in this manner like this? Although it's allowed to ask for a person's needs. Yani if he has specific and special needs, he can ask for them in his own words. But the best of the supplications to learn and to use are those that are in the Quran and in the Sunnah. But from the benefit of this here is that the place, the tashahud al-akhir, this is a place for supplication. This is a place for supplication. One of the best places to supplicate is here. At the end of the prayer, before the taslim, at the very end of the prayer, a person, he has performed the prayer and he has made the recitation of the words of Allah, and he has made the ruku' and the bowing and the sujood and humbleness and humility, and he is fulfilling this great act of worship. And then in the end of that, after presenting this great act of worship, then he will supplicate before he finishes. And this is a great place and an opportunity to supplicate, and many people there have been heedless of this or unaware of this. And it's been mentioned that one of the laymen had complained one time about an imam, had complained about the imam that he had took too long in the tashahud before he made the taslim. And the man, he came to the imam and he complained about that. And he said, what are you saying? I said the tashahud two times before you even finished. I repeated the tashahud two times before you even finished. And then he doesn't realize that this is the time for supplication. And he would say to him, well, who told you to repeat the tashahud two times? And the tashahud is only repeated one time, but rather this is a place for supplication. This is a place for dua, that a believer, that whenever he's praying, he would take advantage of that portion of the salat. And from the prayer, there are the places to supplicate are after the last tashahud, before the taslim, and also in sujood. Some people, they think that only in sujood is the time for supplication and that prayer, but rather one of the greatest places, likewise, to take advantage of supplication and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for one's needs is after the tashahud is finished with the salawat al-ibrahimiyyah and before the taslim. And before the taslim, this is a time for supplication and calling on Allah and asking Him. And this is the evidence for that. فَلْيَتَخَيَّرْ مِنْ أَلْمَسَلَةِ مَا شَاءَ. And he let him choose after that from the supplications that he likes. The author, he's going to mention some of the supplications that have come in the Sunnah that one should memorize and learn. But here we see that this is the tashahud, which is a pillar from the pillars of the prayer. And the tashahud here of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu. Again, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him to say, At-tahiyyatu لِلَّهِ التَّحِيَّاتُ لِلَّهِ. التَّحِيَّاتُ is the plural of التَّحِيَّةِ, and what is intended here is التَّعْظِيمَاتُ, all of the actions of veneration and honor and magnification and respect. And it's known that before the people, they used to enter upon the kings, and they would honor them and respect them, and they would mention words of praise for them and greetings of salutations of praise, and mentioning they have authority or they have great praise, and mentioning words of goodness about them, or even honoring them and venerating them in actions by bowing and so on and so forth. But the coming of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has clarified that all of these salutations and these greetings of honor and majesty and of praise, they belong to Allah azza wa jal. At-tahiyyatu lillah, at-ta'zimat, from the ruku' and from the sujood and from the humbleness and from the humility and submission before Allah azza wa jal, all of them, yani lillah, mulkan wa istihqaqan, and they belong to Allah. This is His dominion, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who has authority and He is the one who has command. A believer, he should learn the meanings of the adhkar, particularly in the salah, so that his salah will be alive and his heart can be alive while he is praying, and whenever he is on his knees on the ground. And this is what he's saying, and he's sitting there looking down humbly before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tahiyyatu lillah, that all of the praises and all of the magnification and all of the glory is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, submission and surrender and humility and love and obedience and servitude, yani in all forms, in the form of ruku' and sujood and actions and in statements, all of that belongs to Allah. All of that belongs to Allah. This is a statement of it, at-tahiyyatu lillah, yani at-ta'zimat. And after that, wa-t-tayyibat. يعني والطيبات also لله, therefore Allah عز وجل also. الطيبات يعني the plural of الطيب, يعني everything that is good, the good statements and the good actions, all of the good and beautiful statements, therefore Allah, and all of the good and beautiful actions, therefore Allah likewise. And Allah عز وجل, He is الطيب, ولا يقبل إلا طيبة, that from His names سبحانه وتعالى is الطيب, He is the one who is good, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He does not accept anything except for that which is good. وَلَا يَقْبَرُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا, يعني من القول والعمل, from statements and from actions. And for the statements and actions to be considered طيب, they have to have two conditions, and they have to be sincerely and purely for the sake of Allah alone, and likewise they have to be according to the legislation of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, according to his sunnah and legal ways. At this time, the action or the statement can be considered tayyib and good, and can be a amal salih, a righteous deed. And this is the action that Allah, He accepts. Inna Allah tayyibun la yakbu wa la yakbaru illa tayyiba. That verily Allah, He is tayyib, and He does not accept anything except for the tayyib, and that which is pure and good and wholesome. And here, what tayyibat, yani lillahi azza wa jal. So all of the good and the upright statements and actions, likewise, they are for Allah. At-tahiyyatu lillahi was-salawat. I skipped that, huh? Was-salawatu wa-tayyibat. We go back. At-tahiyyatu lillahi was-salawatu wa-tayyibat. At-tahiyyatu lillahi was-salawat. As-salawat, the people of knowledge, as they mentioned, this is the prayers, the legislative prayers, that these are for Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is from at-tahiyyat. Yani this is from at-tahiyyat, from those actions of humbleness and humility, and from the actions of servitude that are for Allah Azza wa Jalla. But it's mentioned specifically here, yani after mentioning in general, at-tahiyyatu lillah, but also as-salawatu lillahi Azza wa Jalla, also, yani to indicate the greatness of the prayer. So the prayer is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. As-salawat, yani all of the prayers, the non-obligatory prayer and the obligatory prayer. Also, some of the people of knowledge, they have mentioned what is intended by as-salawat, meaning the supplication. Yeah, from the meaning of as-salat is du'a. But in any case, the du'a is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no doubt. And likewise, the legislative prayer. The legislative prayer, all of them, the obligatory and the non-obligatory, is for Allah. It's for Allah. It's His right. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, as-salat is ibadah. And it should not be directed to anyone except for Him. At-tahiyyatu lillahi was-salawatu wa-t-tayyibat. والطيبات يعني الطيبات that which is good from the statements and from the actions. After this, يعني one will say in the تشهد, السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليك. السلام is a دعاء for سلامة. السلامة من النقص والعيب. يعني to supplicate for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to be safe. To be safe and to be sound and to be free and far from any deficiency or from any defect. So this is a supplication for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for salama. For salama. Assalamu alayka ayyuha al-nabi. Ayyuha al-nabi. Wa rahmatullah. And the mercy of Allah. And the mercy of Allah, yani, from the attributes of Allah azza wa jal, is that He has mercy. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhu rahmah. Tabaraka wa ta'ala, and He is described with mercy, and He has mercy in a manner befitting His Majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from the effects of His mercy is that He is kind to His creation, and that He provides for His creation subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He guides his creation, tabaraka wa ta'ala. And from the meaning of, and the mercy of Allah upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is a supplication for him to have all good, to have all good, to have the mercy of Allah, and for the good to come to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he was alive, and after his death likewise sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa barakatuhu, and the blessing of Allah. And al baraka is al khair, thubut al khair wa numu'u wa ziyada, yani to have baraka means to have goodness, and for it to remain, and for it to grow. So here there's a supplication for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be safe from every deficiency or defect, or from every foul or blameworthy statement and the likes like this being ascribed to him or to his legislation, and likewise supplication for him to have good, for the good to be obtained for him, and the mercy to be obtained for him, and to grow and to continue and to increase. And from the barakah and the blessing, that one makes for, or that will occur for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after his death, is that his legislation will be known, and his sunnah will be applied, and the sharia that he was upon sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be clarified, and will be explained, and it will be taught, and it will be established in the lands. This is from the barakah for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after his death. And intisharu shariatihi sallallahu alayhi wasallama. So here, the believer, he begins making a supplication here for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallama, because of his high status and rank, and because of his virtue sallallahu alayhi wasallam over the people. They begin by supplicating for him. Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. May the peace be upon you. May the peace be upon you. Meaning, may he be safe and have peace, and be safe from every deficiency and every defect and every fault. And here it says, Assalamu alayka, alayka. And this is kafir khitab, and this is a direct speech. And he's speaking directly to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what is intended here, for the believer to bring to mind, because of the severe love and the high rank and status that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has in the heart of the believer, he was speaking this manner, as if he talking to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the second person. But the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has passed and he is dead sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But here, speaking in the second person in the tashahud like this, is to bring to mind the love of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the great respect that one has, as if he's present in this manner. Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabi, because of how near the heart, near the Prophet is to the heart of the believer, and his great strength and love that he has for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he speaks to him in this manner, or he makes supplication for him in this manner like this. And it is known that this is what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught his companions, and from them there are those that will be praying with him in his presence, and there are others who will be traveling. There are others who will be traveling, and they will be in other lands and other vicinities, and they would say the same thing, Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. So whether they were there with him in his life sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or whether they were away from him in other lands, during his time, they would all use this here, this second person, in the kaf al-khitab. So some of the people of knowledge have mentioned that after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one will not use this. But Allah knows best, this is how it has come. And in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those who were with him, they used this kaf here, kaf assalamu alayka. And also whenever those companions that were not present with him, whether they were in other lands and in other areas, on excursions or on travels, or in other villages and other towns, they also likewise would say assalamu alayka. So this is how the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has taught. And this is the way to perform the tashahud. But some of the people of knowledge have mentioned, it has come in some narration that indicated after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would say, assalamu ala nabi, assalamu ala nabi. And instead of saying, assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabi, assalamu ala nabi, like this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And both of them are correct. And the people of knowledge have mentioned that, that was something that some of the companions did, but it's not something they all agreed upon. It was not something that they all agreed upon, but rather what is clear is that some of them would do that, and others they would not do that. And it has been narrated from Umar radiallahu anhu in his khilafah that he would be on the minbar. He would be on the minbar and he would teach the people the tashahud. And he would say it in this manner, Salamu alayka ayyuha nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And from those who taught the tashahud, Umar likewise radiallahu anhu, and it's been narrated from him that he taught it on the minbar. And he would say it like this, meaning after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore what has reported, yani from some of the companions mentioning that they would say after his death, As-salamu ala nabi, and not saying As-salamu alayka, and this is not something that was agreed upon, that they all had agreed upon. Rather, some of them would do it like that, and others they would say it as has been narrated, like here in this narration. So if a person here were to do one or the other, inshallah, his tashahud is good. His tashahud is good. If he said As-salamu ala nabi, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, or if he said As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, the both of these forms inshallah are good. If a person who were to stick to this wording here, well, Allah knows best, this is the best. Yani, but in any case, both of them are acceptable. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Supplication for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be safe from every harm and every defect and every aib and every deficiency. And a supplication for him to have good and good established for him, and mercy and goodness established for him, and likewise for it to grow and to increase and to continue. And a dua for salama and rahma and barakah. And barakah. So this is the case here, beginning with the right of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after that, as-salamu alayna. And also as-salam, any safety and security as well, and peace and goodness and safety from every harm and fault and defect upon us. Yani upon us, upon the Muslims, upon the person himself. After this, after making supplication for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for salama, and for rahmah and for barakah, after that one will make supplication for himself. As-salamu alayna. And then after that, for the rest of the righteous and pious Muslims. Wa'ala ibadillahi as-salihin. Wa'ala ibadillahi as-salihin. And also as-salam, yani a supplication for as-salama, for the righteous slaves of Allah Azza wa Jal. So here we see that a person, whenever he supplicates, he will begin supplicating for himself. And he will begin supplicating for himself. If he supplicates for somebody, he will supplicate for himself. And then if he wants, he will supplicate for others as well. But he will begin with himself in this manner. This is from the etiquettes of supplication, that one will supplicate for himself and for others. For himself and for others. And also an indication of the right of the believers, that a believer, he will not always only just supplicate for himself, but likewise he will remember his Muslim brothers. And this is an indication of the oneness of the ummah and the unity of the Muslims, that they are united together, and that a believer, he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. May the salam and the peace and security and safety be upon us and upon the righteous slaves of Allah. And this is also an indication for a believer that he should strive to be righteous, and that he should make effort to be salih, and to be righteous and to be obedient, to be pious, so that he can win with the supplication of every Muslim every day. Because everyone who is righteous and everyone who has this description of a salah, then every individual who prays every single day and he supplicates in this manner, he will be included in that. He will be included in that. So therefore a believer, he will hope to have the supplication of the Muslims, yani in the tashahud, in every salah, they will supplicate for the righteous Muslims. So every person who is righteous, he has a portion of that supplication, and he'll be included in that. And the believers, they'll be supplicating for him because of his righteousness. وَعَلَىٰ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ الصَّالِحِينَ. After that, the most important part, and then the best statement, and the heaviest statement, and that is, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And then you say, I bear witness, I testify. Yani to bear witness to something is to believe it in the heart and to state it on the tongue. So one who bears witness to something, yani for it to be truthful and for that testimony to be accepted, and what he is stating on his tongue must be in accordance to what is in his heart. This is the reality of his shahada, that he will have a firm belief, that he will have a firm belief and a strong creed in his heart, and then he will testify to that. He will testify to that, and he will bear witness to that. This is called a testimony. And this is the greatest testimony, the greatest testification. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. لا معبود حق إلا الله. لا إله حق إلا الله. That there's no true God worthy of worship except for Allah. And this is the reason why it's called a tashahud for this portion here. And this is the foundation of the religion. And this is the asal of the deen. And this is the greatest affair here, to testify and to bear witness and to live by, truly, inwardly and outwardly, the fact that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. There's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. And this statement, it stands upon two great pillars, negation and affirmation. A general negation in the beginning and a specific affirmation in the end. La ilaha, yani nothing is worthy of worship whatsoever, no matter what it may be, yani except for Allah, illallah, and to affirm that for Allah alone. So every aspect of worship, whether it's with statement or of the tongue, or whether it's an action of the heart or action of the body parts, all of this belongs to Allah alone. And to direct that to others than besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this worship is falsehood. And those things that are worshipped besides Allah azza wa jalla, they do not deserve to be worshipped. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. So a believer, he will testify to this and he will know what it means. And likewise, he will know what it requires to the oneness of Allah azza wa jalla. And His Lordship and His Divinity, and in His beautiful names and attributes of perfection, and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His right to be worshipped alone. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. After this, he says, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and messenger. And this is the second shahada, yani the shahada 10. The first one is a shahada, then to bear witness and testify to the wahdaniyah of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then this portion here is to testify and to bear witness to the risala and the messengership of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and messenger. This here is a beautiful statement, yani the best of statements, rather the best statement, to testify there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the slave of Allah and His messenger. And this is a great praise. This is a great praise for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is a refutation of two deviant sects, those who have gone to extremes and those who have been negligent. And this is the moderate path, to believe that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the slave of Allah, Abdullah. Yani meaning, if he's the slave of Allah, meaning he's the abidun lillah. He's the one who worships Allah. So the one who is a slave and he himself worships Allah, he does not deserve to be worshipped. He does not deserve to be worshipped. Likewise, there's another proof of this here in the tashahud. And that is the fact that the believer, he supplicates for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's teaching us to make dua for him, to make dua to Allah for him. So the one who is dua is made for, he does not deserve to be called on. The one who, the Prophet is teaching us to invoke Allah for him, and to call on Allah for him, and to supplicate to Allah for him. So therefore, this is a clear indication that you should not call on him along with Allah. Because the one who needs to be supplicated for should not be supplicated, should not be called to. One will not call to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he himself is teaching us to call on Allah for him. فَلَثَلَذِي يُدْعَ لَهُ لَا يُدْعَ مَا اللَّهِ. The one who is supplicated for should not be supplicated to along with Allah azza wa jal. Along with Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is also clarified here, that he is the slave of Allah. فَوَعَبْدٌ عَبْدٌ لَا يُعْبَدْ. That he is a slave, so he should not be worshipped. This is a refutation of the people who have went to extremes with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they have raised him to the rank of uluhiyyah, and they have called on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and believe that he has attributes of lordship, or that he has the attributes of divinity. Even some of them have went so far, they have said in their poetry or in their prose, and they have mentioned huwa al-awwalu Muhammadun, huwa al-akhiru Muhammadun, huwa al-zahiru Muhammadun, like هو الباطن محمد, like this, and they were saying, and they were saying, these are the names and attributes of Allah عز وجل. Allah هو الأول هو الآخر هو الظاهر هو الباطن هو بكل شيء عليم سبحانه وتعالى. These are the names of Allah عز وجل. So people, many people have went, you know, to extremes with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and worshipped him, and he's a slave, and he's a slave. But on the other hand, ورسوله, and he is his messenger likewise, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So therefore he should be believed, and he should not be belied, and he should be obeyed, and he should not be disobeyed, and he should be followed, and he should not be left, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because he's a messenger. He's a messenger. So the haqq and the right of the messenger, and yusaddaq, yani that he, yani tasdiquhu fima akhbara, to believe in what he has informed, and to obey him. And to obey him and to follow him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So other people, they have went to extremes likewise, and they have belied him. They have belied him, and they have, some of them have said he's not a messenger. And they do not believe in him at all, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, others have claimed that he's a messenger, he's a prophet, but to the Arabs only. Some of the Christians, they have mentioned that, and in his day, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or after that, they have claimed that he is a prophet, but he is a prophet to the Arabs only, not to a prophet to all mankind. So in reality, they have belied him. So in reality, they have belied him and denied him, and he is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here's a refutation and moderation here. Moderation with the belief of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he's a slave, and he does not deserve any aspect of worship whatsoever. He does not deserve any aspect of worship whatsoever. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described him within his book, and from the best of his descriptions. And whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would refer to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the best of situations, he would refer to him as a slave. He would refer to him as a slave. And whenever he spoke about revealing the book to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, تبارك الذي أنزل على عبده الفرقان لِيَكُونَ لِلْعَالَمِينَ نَذِيرًا. Blessed is the one who revealed to his slave the criterion. So the revelation was revealed to the slave, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's a slave. And this is from the greatest of praises, that he was a true slave at the peak of ubudiyyah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is a praiseworthy statement. And in reality, if a person, he wants to be truly upright and good and have the best of this life, then let him be a slave to Allah and follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this sincere obedience and submission and surrender to Allah azza wa jal. And many places in the Quran, Allah will refer to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his slave. Yani in the best of situations, alhamdulillah alladhi, الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له إواجا. That all praise is for Allah, the one who has revealed to his slave the book, who had revealed to his slave the book. And this is in reference to the revelation, that the revelation was revealed by Allah Azza wa Jal, and it was revealed to the slave of Allah. And he didn't call him by his name, rather he called him to his slave. And likewise, whenever Allah Azza wa Jalla challenged the people to bring the likes of the Quran, he referred to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a slave. And kuntum fi raybin mimma nazzalna ala abdina fa'tu bi suratin min mithlihi. And that if you have doubts about that which we have revealed to our slave, then bring one chapter like it. Then bring one chapter like it and call all of your witnesses to help you. To help you. So here again, Allah is referring to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his slave. And likewise, whenever Allah referred to the issue of al-Isra wal Mi'raj, yani in Surah al-Isra, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-harami ila al-masjid al-aqsa. Yani referring again to the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is a slave. He's a slave. And whenever they praised him, whenever the people were praising him and mentioning all these good traits about him, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تطروني كما أطرت النصارى عيسى بن مريم. Do not go to extremes in praising me the way the Christians went to extremes in praising Isa, the son of Maryam, alayhi salam. ولكن قولوا عبد الله ورسوله. But say about me, the slave of Allah and his messenger. The slave of Allah and his messenger. And this was his description, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he was a slave, and that he was humble, and he was submissive, and he was obedient, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the extent that he would stand in the night prayer, and his feet would swell, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would be asked about that, and he would say, afala akun abdan shakura, should I not be a thankful slave? Should I not be a thankful slave? So this is the case here. And this is the reality. A person in this life, he is a slave. He is a slave. And and to reach the high levels of this life and the best of this life is to be a true slave willfully. Willfully. To be a true slave willfully. And to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if not, then he will be a slave to his desires and a slave to shaitan. And this is what the human being he's created. He's created to be a slave. So either he will be a slave to Allah, or he will be a slave to his desires and to his whims, but he ever be la to shaitan. And he will be yani, in the servitude, in the shackles of the devil and of his own desires, and of his own desires, would he ever be la. But to be free from that, and to be a slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the peak of success and goodness and success, falah, in this life and in the hereafter.
What makes one to be righteous?
What makes one to be righteous? How to be a righteous slave? Yani to bear witness and to testify that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. And to bear witness and to testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the slave of Allah and his messenger. And to know what those statements require and to fulfill them truthfully. And to fulfill them truthfully. This is what will make somebody righteous. This is what will make somebody righteous. Being righteous is not claims. Being righteous, any being salih, abdun salihun, is not from only claims. Rather, a person, he has to have knowledge and application. To be righteous, a person, he has to have knowledge first and foremost, and then the application of that knowledge. If a person didn't have knowledge, he'll be ignorant. And he'll be misled and misguided. And if a person he had knowledge but he did not apply it, then he will also be deviant. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ He'll be deviant because he has knowledge now in light, but he did not use it. And in order to be righteous, a person he has to have knowledge. Knowledge of the revelation and the legislation, and the foundation of that is أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Just like here we have in our hadith, the hadith of Abdullah bin Mas'ud and the tashahud. And to know what that means, to know what it requires, to know what necessitates, and to strive to fulfill that. To strive to fulfill that. In this manner, a person, he can become righteous. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from the righteous, from His mercy and from His grace. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.